ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 10। श्री नारद उवाच अयम् निष्किल्बिष साक्षान् महाभागवतो महान् त्वया न प्राप्स्यते संस्थान् अनन्तानुचरो बली। श्री ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। नारद मुनि रिप्लाइड, द चाइल्ड विद इन द वुमन्स वूम इज फॉल्टलेस एंड सिनलेस। इंडीड ही इज अ ग्रेट डिवोटी, अ पावरफुल सर्वेंट ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। Therefore, you will not be able to kill him. Purport. There have been many instances in which demons or non-devotees have attempted to kill a devotee, but they have never been able to destroy a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, कौन्तेय प्रतियानी न मे भक्त प्रणश्यति। दिस इज अ डिक्लरेशन बाय द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड दैट हिज डिवोटी कैन नॉट बी किल्ड बाय डीमंस। प्रहलाद महाराज इज द विविड एग्जाम्पल ऑफ द ट्रूथ ऑफ दिस प्रॉमिस। नारद मुनि टोल्ड द किंग ऑफ हेवन, इट वुड बी इम्पॉसिबल फॉर यू टू किल द चाइल्ड even though you are demigods, and certainly it would be impossible for others. So this is a beautiful section of Prahlad Maharaj's glories being enunciated by Shripad Narad Muni. And today is the Dwadashi after Ekadashi, so it's a tough day for hearing. And in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said when Srimad Bhagavatam is recited on Ekadashi and Dwadashi, the effects is 100 times more. So that's some inspiration to keep you going for the next 1 hour. So in the pastime of Trinavart, when Krishna kills Trinavart, so Trinavart goes up into the sky along with Krishna, and when Trinavart is brought down by Krishna's power and he falls on a big piece of rock, he smashes his head against that rock, the whole body falls into that rock. And Trinavart is killed by Krishna's power. So when the Brajavasis come there, one of the verses in which they describe, when they try to analyze the reason why Trinavart is killed, in that they explain that this Trinavart was killed as a result of the burden of his own sinful activities which brought him down. He was sin personified, and because of that, ultimately, he was destroyed by the heavy burden of his sins. So that's called kilbisha. Bhunjate te twagam papa ye pachante atma karanat. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses this word, kilbisha, means sin. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is glorified by Sripad Narad Muni as nishkilbisha, as sinless. And therefore, he says that he will be protected by the Supreme Lord and you have no power to destroy. So this is a very significant verse which is very hope giving for devotees, and there are five principles which actually determine a devotee's behavior or nature when he's performing his activities. And we'll be discussing these five principles and how Krishna's protection helps us in the ultimate analysis. So this pastime is from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the churning of the milk ocean. And in this particular pastime, this principle of Krishna's help, assistance and protection for all his devotees and those who are favorable to him is repeatedly mentioned and described. So the pastime begins with Durvasa Muni. He is walking in the heavenly planets, and Indra is riding on his elephant carrier, Airavat. So Indra is extremely proud of his opulence and is sitting on this Airavat thinking that he is the king of the heaven. And Durvasa Muni looks at Indra and then feels compassion for him, and as is the nature of a great soul, he wants to share his mercy with him. So Durvasa Muni takes out his garland and offers it to Indra. He wants to give his association to Indra. Now Durvasa Muni is an extremely angry person, and Durvasa basically means improperly dressed. And the real reason is that Durvasa Muni never wears any clothes. He doesn't wear any clothes. He is completely naked. But if anyone calls him naked, he'll curse him. Therefore, the safest way to address him is, you are not well dressed, Durvasa. So that is one of the reasons why he's called Durvasa. So as soon as he gives this garland to Indra, so Indra is a person who evaluates things based on his own material vision of good and bad. So therefore Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Dvaite Bhadra Abhadra, both are considered Manodharma. So Indra is considering from his point of view that here is this useless person who is giving me this garland which is equally useless. So what I'll do with this? So the conditioned soul has a tendency to catch every object which comes within its purview, evaluate it, capture it with all the five senses, object of the eyes, object for the ears, for the tongue, for the skin. Every moment, every object is passing through our scrutiny. Just like in the airport, where they pass every bag through the X-ray screen, and that is evaluated carefully. So we are passing every object, if a beautiful object for the vision, then we first capture it. Something for the ears, we capture it. Something for the nose, we capture it. Something for the tongue, we capture it. And after capturing it, then we evaluate whether this particular object and interaction will give me pleasure or pain. And then our whole motive is accumulate the objects which give pleasure, put it in this box, and those objects which give pain, throw it somewhere else. Even if it goes in someone else's box, no problem. So accumulate as many things which give pleasure. So we are passing every moment all the different objects which can be processed through our five senses while interacting with this world, and we are scanning it through this scanning machine. And ultimately, we are looking for these two principles, pleasure giving or pain giving. Whatever is pain giving, immediately we pass it on. Take it. No problem. You have it. Right? Donate it to ISKCON. Many times we receive this kind of vehicles, you know, in such bad condition that no one can even start it. They say, no, you take. You have enough brahmacharis to push it. You can handle it. No problem. That which is of no use, give it away. But that which is useful, keep it. So therefore, every moment when Krishna is saying, yad karosi, yad ashnasi, yad juhosi, dadasi, do everything for me. So we get employed as a servant, but just imagine if that security personnel, CISF personnel at the airport who's screening every bag, actually, you know, gets to know what is inside the bag, and whatever is favorable, he starts picking out and keeping in another box and sending the remaining. Okay, security checked. Take it. But that's not a transparent security check. It's a motivated check, because whatever is nice inside, he has stolen it and not allowed it to pass through. So that's the difference between a pure devotee and a conditioned soul. That a conditioned soul passes every item and then keeps what is favorable, and then sees whatever is unfavorable, he throws it away, and whatever he feels is neutral, is not affecting me also negatively, and Krishna won't mind also, take it. And therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavratam. Anya Bhilashita Shunyam means, don't judge as to how this particular object will be good for me or will be pleasure giving to me. Just give it to Krishna, gross or subtle. And that's the challenge which all of us have to go through in the practice of bhakti. So therefore, Indra means a person with a controlling propensity and who is constantly habituated to evaluate every particular object in his kingdom from that perspective. What will be pleasure giving, he keeps. Whatever will be against that principle, he discards it. So therefore, as soon as the garland comes, he checks it. And then he thinks, this is not going to give me any pleasure, it's useless. So he takes that garland and gives it to his elephant, Airavat. Now Airavat is not, you know, a master in Vaishnava etiquette, and he doesn't know what the meaning of this garland is. All Airavat sees is it edible or not? And he thinks it's not edible, it's useless. He throws it under his feet and crumples it completely. If he had done it after some distance, it was okay. But he did that right in front of Durvas Muni when he was standing there. So of course, Airavat had not heard about the glories of Durvas Muni's anger. But whatever mistake a servant does, master has to pay for it. So we cannot wash our hands off the responsibility. And as Bhagavatam says, Bhritya Prade Swamino Danda. If the Bhritya performs, if the servant performs an aprad, then the Swami has to pay for it. And here Swami was also the Swami of many other demigods. So the mistake of one servant, that affected so many others because a great soul was affected. So therefore, one has to be extremely careful in one's activities. So the first principle which affects our behavior and our life is past life conditionings. Past life conditionings, you know, in previous lives and before coming to Krishna consciousness, the kind of mentality we have, the kind of conditionings we have, that affects our behavior, that affects our nature. And that's the first principle in devotional service as far as devotee's behavior is concerned. So at this point, Durvas Muni gives a curse, and as a result of that curse, all of the opulence of the demigods is finished. So demigods lose and the demons become powerful. So Bhagavatam says that Ajitasya Padam Sakshat Jagama Tamasaparam. So Ajitasya Padam, because they could not understand this principle that ultimately we have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And because of the mistake of Indra, they lost all of their power. So therefore, All of them approach Lord Brahmaji. Brahmaji approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he offers his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one of the prayers he says, Klesha Bhuri Alpasarani Karmani Vifalani Va. He says, my dear Lord, those who approach you have a great advantage because Klesha Bhuri, a person in the material world, works extremely hard to fulfill all of his desires. But in response, he gets only a meager result. If you compare the amount of austerity a person performs and in return for that austerity, how much of pleasure he actually gets, it's very meager. Klesha Bhuri Alpasarani Karmani Vifalani Va. And in fact, the result he receives is exactly the opposite. Dehinam Vishayartanam Na Tatha Tvai Arpitam. But if a devotee surrenders his activities unto you, he gets exactly the opposite result. With very little effort, you are able to fulfill all of his desires. So therefore, a devotee has this special prerogative. And the Lord assists him in all of these activities. So, as far as a devotee is concerned, he has this double advantage of receiving the Lord's special mercy. Klesha Bhuri Alpa Sarani. So many times people feel, if I come to ISKCON, start chanting Hare Krishna, I will be able to give lesser and lesser time for my material activities. I may become less efficient. I may lose materially. How do you account for that? Prabhupada was celebrating the 10th anniversary of ISKCON and they had a big cake right in front of Srila Prabhupada. And they were cutting this cake on the occasion of the 10th anniversary in Los Angeles. And the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, you came to America with practically nothing and now we have spread all over different parts of the world and that is simply by Krishna's mercy. And we can see that we have all kinds of facilities in all our temples. And this shows that if you simply serve the master, then the servant enjoys as much as the master. And Prabhupada said, no, the servant enjoys more than the master. And he said, master can eat only this much, but whatever remains, servants eat. And Prabhupada said, we are simply trying to please Krishna a little bit. Krishna is providing us all facilities in every possible way, materially and spiritually. So therefore, Krishna protects a devotee at all levels. And he can do much more than what he can do on his own. Prabhupada was sitting outside in Paris on one of the chairs. And one of the devotees was fanning him right next to the road. There was a busy traffic way and the temple was right there and there was a lawn and Prabhupada was sitting on that lawn in a chair and one devotee was offering peacock feather and one man was passing by on the road and as he passed by, he looked at this scene of devotee offering, you know, peacock feather. And in the West, this is the most bizarre scene anyone can think of. He passed by, but he couldn't resist. He came back and came right next to Prabhupada and kept looking at Prabhupada and this devotee who was fanning. And Prabhupada had a cool look on his face. He had just a bead bag and he was chanting Hare Krishna and there was absolutely no emotion of surprise on his face. And this fellow was waiting and waiting, thinking that now Prabhupada will tell him to stop. But Prabhupada was sitting and the man was still fanning. And this man, he looked at this at the devotee and told Prabhupada, why is it that this man is fanning you? Why is it that he is fanning you like this? And Prabhupada said, because it is hot. And this fellow was totally flabbergasted. I mean, it was the right answer, but the whole idea of his expressing was, how is it that you are accepting this kind of service and enjoying like this and this and that? And Prabhupada just mentioned, and then he went on his way, still totally puzzled by this whole scene. Prabhupada asked Trivikram Swami, "So what are you studying?" And he said, "Sociology." "What is the meaning of that?" "We study the problems of the alcoholics and try to avoid alcoholism." And Prabhupada said, "So you have a whole day's discussion on alcoholism, how to avoid alcoholism, and in the evening you go to the bar and discuss how we can implement it. This is your anti-alcoholism campaign. Ultimately, what is the point?" So therefore, unless one comes to the point of Krishna consciousness, his knowledge remains insufficient. And in fact, Shukadeva Goswami describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "Prayana Munayo Rajan Nivritta Vidhi Sedata Nairgunyaste Ramantesna Gunanu Kathane Hare," that he was also up to the stage of Brahman realization only. And then only when he took to the process of Krishna consciousness, understood the Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Vyasdev, then the realization became complete. So even all of these demigods, because they have not come to the stage of pure devotion, and they have this habit of constantly evaluating every situation and every object and every circumstance from the point of view of how I will gain from it, what I will get from it. This business mentality is there every moment, therefore the anxiety is guaranteed. And that's exactly the reason why Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with these pastimes, that even if you have the most luxurious material situation, if you do not change that mentality and take away the I factor and bring Krishna in the center and establish a relationship with Krishna only for his pleasure, there will be no end to this anxiety. So therefore, the second principle which a devotee goes through in his life is what is known as upbringing. What is the kind of upbringing he has in his whole life? The kind of habits which he has acquired, the kind of sanskars which he has developed. And that also affects one's nature. So what we see in a person right now when he is practicing Krishna consciousness is not just a result of his past life's conditioning, but also of his upbringing in this life. There's a story of Janak Maharaj. He was a pure devotee and he was always brought up as a wonderful soul, completely pure and dedicated to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He had so much of taste for hearing Bhagavatam. So there used to be one great soul who would come and speak the Srimad Bhagavatam in his palace, and all the other members of the court would be sitting, and Janak Maharaj would come and sit down along with others, and this sadhu would speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. Some days Janak Maharaj would be late, so the sadhu would wait for Janak Maharaj to come. And all the other ministers and everyone thought that this fellow wants to impress the king. He wants that good dakshina, therefore he waits for the king. Otherwise we are sitting here, why he has to wait? He can start. So he wants to impress the king, and that's what they thought about him, because they superimposed their own mentality on him. So now after a few days, Janak Maharaj understood that something like this is happening. So somehow, Krishna made an arrangement that one day, Janak Maharaj's treasury was on fire. So one of the soldiers came running to Janak Maharaj and whispered in his ear that your treasury is on fire. Treasury is on fire, all your wealth is going to burn. Now you can imagine, if anyone is told this kind of news, what will happen? Right? It is such a difficult thing to bear. If someone says your chappal is being taken away, it will be difficult to concentrate in Srimad Bhagavatam class. Right? I saw someone taking away a chappal which looked exactly like yours. Maybe it is not yours. Finished. After that point onwards. The mind is not on Shukadeva Goswami. It is on the slippers. So Janak Maharaj said, okay, no problem. Let the katha be over, we'll sort it out after that. And he was peacefully sitting and listening. And then after the everything was over, then he went and solved the problem or whatever it was. So the next day, some of the minister's house got on fire. So again, the messenger came and said to the ministers, your house is on fire and your whole colony is on fire. And everyone jumped and ran away, and Janak Maharaj was the only person sitting there. So everyone realized what was the stature of Janak Maharaj. So therefore, what a person goes through throughout his life creates deep impressions. Uddhav, when he is sitting with Vidura in the third canto, Prishto Varta Prati Bruyat Bhartur Padav Anusmaram Kalena Jarasaggata. It is described that right from his very childhood, Uddhav had such a deep impression of Krishna consciousness, of serving Krishna, that although he was very old, the impressions of serving Krishna was so deep, it had become a part of his existence and he could not do anything else. And Bhartur Padav Anusmaran, the ecstasy of remembering Krishna was increasing more and more and more. And therefore, the upbringing plays a very important part in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, we have that so many devotees, when they produce Krishna conscious children, that is a great benediction for these children to be brought up in a Krishna conscious environment. So now, Lord Vishnu appears to all of the demigods, and simply the appearance of Lord Vishnu is such a pleasant darshan for the eyes of everyone. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described, Darshanam no didrikshunam dehi bhagavatarchitam rupam priyatamam swanam sarvendriya gunanjanam. We are trying to satisfy our eyes by interacting with so many objects, but the real pleasure for the eyes is Krishna's darshan. Sarva indriya gunanjanam. All the senses become completely pacified and satisfied when they interact with Krishna. And therefore the deity form exists. So for us to come in contact and then purify ourselves. So therefore all of these demigods, they come in front of the Lord and they express their difficulty to the Lord. And the Lord is very honest with them and he says, I'm sorry, but I cannot help you because right now the time factor is not in your favor. And because the time factor is not in your favor, it is better that you lie low and do not try to do anything smart. And when the right time comes, everything will happen. So Lord Vishnu himself is advising. And he's expressing that the nature of this world is, even though someone may be as powerful as the demigods, demigods are not ordinary human beings. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Vishnu is described as Surasundaram. Surasundaram means, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhru Maharaj pastime, Surasundaram means who even in demigod society is glorified as beautiful. That is Vishnu. So from the demigod's point of view, the human beings are a very low race. Just like when human beings argue with each other and sometimes they have to chastise someone, they call him dog. You dog, you pig. So that's considered to be like a swear word. So similarly, when the demigods fight, sometimes they call each other human being. Hey, Manav, shut up. And then they have fight and they go to Indra. He called me a Manav, you know. He called me a Manushya. He called me a human being. So, therefore, we may consider that the beauty of this human species is extremely, you know, wonderful. As one of our devotees was mentioning that Krishna is Surasundaram and human beings are Chuchundaram. compared to that beauty, ours is like the beauty of, you know, some mouse or rat. Hardly anything. But still, we have so much of false pride. So here, the great powerful demigods who can control like Agni, Vayu, Varuna, Indra. Indra has the weapon, Vajra, thunderbolt weapon. So powerful, we cannot imagine what kind of havoc he created during Govardhan Leela. But Lord Vishnu is telling them, time is not in your favor. Just wait and watch. When the right time comes, we will do everything. So therefore, situations in our life go through various seasons. So sometimes the season is favorable, sometimes the season is unfavorable. Sometimes it is hot, sometimes cool, sometimes spring, sometimes autumn. Various things happen in cycle. And therefore Prabhupada says in one of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to be in the middle of the hurricane and watch the hurricane without being affected by the hurricane. The hurricane will come and go. Agama apayino anitya. So the mind will go through various seasons. Sometimes spiritual life will be easy to practice. Sometimes extremely difficult to practice. Sometimes it is easy to overcome temptations. Sometimes we experience unalloyed attraction for all sense objects. And we become totally bewildered. All of these different things will come and go. Lord Vishnu is telling them, this is not the right time. So through this pastime of the Samudra Manthan, Lord Vishnu is basically giving a very strong message that till one comes to the point of Srimad Bhagavatam, every soul considers, I am the doer. I am responsible for everything. I can manage everything. Therefore, all I need to do is, if I can develop relationship with the objects of this world, people of this world, I can control people and objects according to my desire and be victorious. That's our Sambandha Gyan, where I am the center. We want to develop relationship of everything and everyone with us. That is Sambandha under illusion. And that results in distress. Bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha cha nityasha. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us right from the first page till the last that give up that false relationship. You have forgotten one very important aspect in that relationship, and that is Krishna. Bring Krishna in and then route all your relationships through him. And when you do that, then everything will fall in place. And then you will realize that you had plugged in the wrong socket. And that's why you are getting repeated jolts. Plug in the right socket and then you will get the right kind of flow. And then everything will work perfect. So what is Sambandha Gyan? Sambandha Gyan means take out the plug from one socket, plug it in the right socket. For millions of lifetimes, we have been plugging in the wrong place and thinking, why fuse is going off again and again? I cannot understand. So Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, take it out of that jacket, put it here. Connect with Krishna. And therefore, if you connect with Krishna, even if you maintain relationship with other things, gradually because of that Krishna factor, you will constantly compare that relationship with material things is bringing me misery, relationship with Krishna is bringing me pleasure. So gradually, by ticking off various disastrous and miserable conditions in relationship with material objects, we start embracing Krishna more and more and more. Till the end, we only have Krishna in our lives. And we become disgusted with all this list of relationships. That's the whole idea of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is trying to impress upon us, have relationship with Krishna. Develop relationship with Krishna. Anyone who has done that to any extent has ultimately gained. Whether it is demigod or a demon like Putana or Agasur. Agasur was sin personified. Krishna entered into his system. And ultimately Agasur's soul came out, stood for some time, and then entered into Krishna. Sin personified became liberated when he came in contact and established relationship with Krishna. And not only he became purified, normally even a great Vaishnava's body, after the soul leaves the body is subjected to samadhi. The body is no longer there. But Aghasur was so glorious that even after the soul left the body, the dead body became a place of sports for all the cowherd boys in Vrindavan. Aghasur's dead body became one of the wonderful play sports areas for the cowherd boys like Govardhan, like Radhakund, like all of these other places. Aghasur's body was also there. That was also one of the places which became like a place of pilgrimage. So Krishna offered to sin personified not only liberation but eternal fame by giving even his body that opportunity. So therefore, try to understand the power of developing relationship with Krishna. That's the message of the Bhagavatam. At any moment, at any cost, somehow or the other, develop relationship with Krishna. So therefore here, in these pastimes also, when the demigods are in difficulty, then the message has been given. What they do, even so powerful personalities whose power cannot be compared with ours, even when they are in difficulty, they establish relationship with Krishna, with Vishnu. And therefore the message is given, you should also follow suit. So very interesting principle. So now when the Lord says this, the Lord gives them advice that what we should do is, we should churn the milk ocean. And from the milk ocean, all kinds of nice objects will come out. Do not become attracted to any of them. Ultimately wait for the time when the Amrit comes out. When the Amrit comes out, then you'll be able to relish that nectar and become powerful. And I will assist you at all times. Have faith. But now, you cannot churn that ocean alone. And to churn that ocean, you also need the association of the demons. So therefore, my first advice to you is, compromise with the demons and invite them to participate in this churning process. So many times when we approach the Lord, we expect quick fix solutions. That, okay, I have a problem, my dear Lord, what should I do? Play upon your flute and remove the problem. But the Lord doesn't agree so easily. He makes us work for the solution. And that's what Krishna did to Arjuna also. That's what the Lord did to those demigods who approached, saying that Ravana is creating havoc. Ravana is creating so much difficulty. Lord told the demigods, you take the form of monkeys. And you take the form of monkeys and then I will help you. So you can imagine it is not very fashionable to take the form of monkeys. Right? But they had to do it because ultimately they needed the Lord's help. So now we find that the demigods, they approach Bali Maharaj. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki, Sanitai Gaur Chandra Ki, Girdhari Gopala Ki. And they approach the demigods with the understanding that ultimately Lord Vishnu will help us. They approach the demons. So when they approach Bali Maharaj, immediately all the demons become very angry that, oh, enemies are coming, what should we do? So they start running. And at that time Bali Maharaj says, stop, don't attack. I think they have come for some other purpose. Let us try to understand. And so they make this proposal that let's do this churning together and we'll get the nectar. And the demigods are confident of Lord Vishnu's help. And the demons go and consult amongst themselves and they come to the conclusion that these demigods are useless. They have no power. And we also cannot get the nectar on our own. Let us use the help of the demigods. We'll get the nectar. And then after we get the nectar, we'll kill them. So that way we will also gain. So they also come and they also agree for the proposal. So both demigods and demons both are agreeing for the proposal, each thinking that I will cheat the other. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that even in heavenly planets there is diplomacy. There is cheating propensity. And Prabhupada gives in the purport the example that while practicing Krishna consciousness, We are in a society of devotees, but we are also interacting with so many people outside. And because we are associating with so many people outside, we cannot give up that association. So Prabhupada said, so they are producing so many nice things, so many nice inventions. We will use it in Krishna's service. Right? So the devotees need all of these facilities. So the printing press is required, technology is required, whatever is used, we will use in the Lord's service. And that's the whole idea of collaborating. Coming in contact with demoniac forces in such a way that ultimately we can get the nectar out of it. And only with the Lord's help it is possible. That's the whole idea. All of us are churning every moment when we are interacting with the world outside. We are interacting with the demoniac forces. But if we follow this instruction of taking the Lord's support, then that interaction and that churning will ultimately produce nectar, which we will be able to actually relish like that. Like someone told Srila Prabhupada that now after the moon landing issue, you know, some people have started selling land on the moon. And they are saying that, you know, you can also go and settle in the moon. And so many people are more foolish enough to buy that also. They are purchasing the land, thinking we'll go to the moon. So what we should do, Srila Prabhupada, when this happens? Prabhupada said, don't worry, we'll go and distribute books. Our business remains the same. So whatever the people in the world do, that affects the devotees. And when we are staying in a superficial Kali Yuga, where relationships are superficial, where all kinds of activities which people do are on a superficial platform, we are trying to establish eternal principles in a society which is filled with superficiality, where people are willing to break relationships at the drop of a hat. So we are trying to maintain an AC room in a superheated environment in a Sahara desert. And the problem is the door keeps opening and closing all the time. And when that happens, the heat from outside constantly comes in and the temperature inside the room also goes up, because we are also affected by the environment. So if we were insulated totally from the outside world, it was quite possible to create a very ideal society where eternal Vedic principles as described in the Ramayana and Bhagavatam with those level of relationships can be established. But we ourselves are product of that society, and we are still in contact with that society, and the doors keep opening and closing. And naturally, we are hearing about eternal relationships which do not change, and people are able to tolerate to this extent all difficulties and do not give up loyalty, do not give up chastity, do not do this, do not do that. But we are surrounded in an environment where exactly the opposite is going on, where divorce is the in thing, where disloyalty is appreciated, where corruption is glorified. So naturally, all of those vibrations affect us. And therefore, many times when we hear the principles and the kathas from the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, the level of perfection displayed in those relationships appears utopian and practically impossible to follow. So therefore, here, Lord Vishnu is giving this advice that you go and develop relationship with the demons. And diplomacy means that somehow get things in our favor, like that. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching, he was facing many difficulties. Like when he went to Jaipur, specifically there were many people in India who were trying to find fault with the Western devotees, and Srila Prabhupada had to defend. Sometimes he had to be aggressive, sometimes he had to be diplomatic. And in Jaipur, there was a program arranged, and some of his disciples were asked to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Ishopanishad verses. And one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples chanted verses from the Ishopanishad. And one man said to Prabhupada, recitation was all right, but the pronunciation was not very good. Prabhupada said, but her renunciation is perfect. I'm more concerned with that. And Prabhupada said, yes, I know. they may not be having so many qualities, but one good quality they have is they are following what I am teaching them. They are simply willing to follow my desires. And that's an important point. And this brings us to the third principle which affects us apart from past life conditionings and upbringing, and that is association. When we come in the right association, that association changes us, purifies us, molds our life in a certain way. And so now the demigods are directly getting association of Lord Vishnu, and they have the greatest opportunity of being transformed. So demigods have this propensity of enjoyment, and when you have enjoyment propensity and along with that you have devotional service, there will always be tendency to cheat. So therefore, these five principles are very important. As I say, the five C's: chanting, cooperation with devotees. So that means when the sadhana and cooperation is strong, then everything works well. But if the chanting and cooperation is subjected to the third C, which is complacency. So when there is complacency in one's chanting and in one's relationship, so when there is complacency in cooperation in chanting, it results in two other C's. And what is that? The fourth is desire to take credit. One wants to take credit for, you know, one's activities. And the fifth C is one develops the habit of criticism. So credit taking and criticism go hand in hand, because one wants to establish one's superiority. So criticism also means fault finding. And then this becomes a part of our nature. So therefore, in the association, it is our duty to purify our desires. And those desires are purified when we have the right kind of mood, right kind of devotees association, and have the right attitude like that. So this is a very, very important principle. And when we read Srila Prabhupada's purports, Srila Prabhupada's purports, they actually reveal all of these things, that if we do not give up the enjoyment propensity and are complacent about our sadhana and everything, what will happen? The sambandha, the interaction with material nature, will be miserable. Just like I think someone was giving a Bhagavatam class and giving an example, that just imagine if you go to watch a movie with someone who has already seen a movie. Right? You may have such experience before. You go to watch a movie and someone has already seen it. So for you, every scene is very exciting. But that person is looking back with a bored look on his face, because he already knows what's going to happen. You know, and there is a nice marriage ceremony going on between hero and heroine. And you are thinking, wow, looks so wonderful. And this fellow says, it's going to be over. Few scenes finished. And then you see that the hero is coming and getting his graduation degree, and everyone is congratulating him. And he says, he's going to get killed after a few scenes finished. He says, hey, come on, don't tell me that. I'm telling you. No, I can't believe it. It's going to happen. I've seen it before. It will happen. You can't avoid it. It is there in the plot. So he's not at all surprised, because he's already seen it. So Prabhupada's purports are like that. We are watching this movie in the material world. Every scene is attracting us so much. We see some beautiful object moving by, we think, wow, what a scene. And then Prabhupada is telling in our ear, Dukkha yonaya evate. It will only give misery. I know the scene. I have seen this movie. You know, it's an old movie. Right? So all of us are looking for a hit. So we are all watching this movie. We are all actually heroes in this movie, participating and being entrapped, entranced by every scene. But in this case, it is not that the movie is going to get a hit. We are going to get hit by material nature. So therefore, we have to change our attitude. And that's what is described here. And especially once we start practicing Krishna consciousness more and more, the feeling that, you know, I am great and I am the center of all activities becomes more enhanced if we are not careful to put Krishna in the center. And then the desire to change ourselves goes on decreasing. And unless there is a special effort on our part, on the part of others, it's not going to happen so easily. So therefore now, all of the demigods come together and the demons come together and make arrangements for churning. And they bring the Mandar mountain. But as these demigods and demons try to lift the Mandar hill, this huge golden mountain just falls on their hands and their feet and they fall down. Many of them get crushed. And the first attempt is a failure. So now the Lord has appeared to give them advice. They have followed the advice, but even while trying to follow the advice, they are experiencing failure. And they cannot do anything about it. And at that time, the Lord personally appears and lifts the Mandara mountain and puts it on the back of Garuda. What 33 crore demigods and crores of other demons can't do, you know, Lord's vehicle, Garuda, does. Just picks up. And then the Lord brings that Mandar Parvat and brings it to the milk ocean and leaves it right there. And after leaving the Mandar mountain right there, the Lord tells Garuda to leave. And why the Lord tells Garuda to leave? Because very soon Vasuki is going to come. And Vasuki is the natural meal for Garuda. So in that particular pastime, in that particular service, Garuda's presence is not going to be favorable. Right? Many years ago, Radhanath Maharaj was giving a class here. And someone asked a question to him, that if Garuda is from spiritual world, why is eating snakes? And we are telling people no meat eating. How can Lord's associate do like this? Maharaj says, it is none of your business to ask about Garuda's diet. You go and, you know, beg forgiveness from Garuda right there. And he made the devotee go and beg forgiveness. So many times, you know, Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport that because Garuda had this kind of propensity, the Lord did not feel that it was good for him to stay there. He told him to leave. And from Garuda's point of view, it was such an important occasion that they were going to have this big churning of the milk ocean after, you know, it's going to be a historic event. And Garuda has been told to do this mammoth service of bringing this Mandar mountain, without which nothing else could have happened beyond. Without the churning rod, what churning can happen? So Garuda was told to bring the churning rod, and after bringing the churning rod, he was given marching orders. Go. Now you don't stay here anymore. But I want to watch this. Sorry, you can't. Please go ahead. So many times when we perform a service, we take credit to this extent that it becomes extremely difficult to give any advice to that person. And a person thinks that I have done so much service for so long, I know better than anyone else what to be doing. Who is he to tell me what I should be doing? And that becomes a very difficult situation. And therefore, big efforts cannot be accomplished because one instrument gets blocked and you cannot do anything. So that is the difference between the demons and Garuda, that Garuda is willing to follow any instruction at any point. Even when he has just now performed such a great service, and naturally he may have a desire to stay there and watch this whole thing live, but Lord Vishnu is telling, okay, you cannot participate in this, you just go. And Garuda leaves. And then all of these demigods, now they want a rope, so they go to Vasuki and approach Vasuki and offer Vasuki that, please, we have a very special request for you. And Vasuki says, what's the request? We want you to become the rope. A rope? For what? For this churning. Churning of what? Milk ocean. And this huge mountain is going to be there. We want you to coil around that and then just stay there. We'll take care of the rest. Vasuki said, forget it. There is no way I'm going to be implicated in this. Now, can you imagine? What kind of service is that when you are going to be rubbed around a big, huge rock by powerful demons? Forget the rock, even the demon's hand is so powerful. So he said, I'm not going to do it. So demigods, they offer that we will give you a percentage of the share also, of the Amrit. So demigods are bribing everyone left, right and center with the Amrit, when they themselves don't know what is going to happen also. But they are making that offer, and Vasuki immediately accepts, saying, okay, if I am going to get that remuneration, I am willing to go through the austerity. So one more hurdle is crossed, and then now the Mandar Parvat is brought and kept in the ocean. But they think that it is simply going to lie there. They made some major calculation mistake, and this huge Mandar mountain sunk into the ocean straight. And again, they got bewildered that we are about to start the process. Everything is failed again. Again, they start crying out to the Lord. Again, Lord Vishnu comes. And Lord Vishnu appears in the form of Kurma. And as Kurma, he supports this Mandar mountain. And then when the Mandar mountain is moving on the back of Kurma, then the churning process begins. So at every stage, the Lord is providing the protection. At every stage, the Lord is providing the support. Without His intervention, without His help, none of the efforts can be successful. And this is a reminder for all the devotees at all stages of their practice of Krishna consciousness, that it is ultimately the Lord who inspired us to take shelter of the devotees. It is the Lord who sent the devotees. It is the Lord who actually helped us in following the four regulative principles, chanting Hare Krishna. And even now, it is only by Krishna's mercy things are going. We should not forget that. And when we start forgetting that, we become complacent. And then we start taking credit. And that's what the demons do. That now, when it is time for holding the Vasuki's, you know, two ends, Lord Vishnu takes the head part and tells the demons, you take the tail part, you know, and then we will start the process. So the demons immediately object. How can we take the tail part? How is it possible? You want to be the head? That is the problem. You demigods along with Lord Vishnu, you want to be the head. We know why you are taking the head part. Because you want to be the head. And this tail, it is considered to be amangal. It is considered to be inauspicious. You are giving us the inauspicious part and taking the auspicious part? No. We will not start the process. We strike. And all the demons, you know, they have their glum faces and they stop this process. And Lord Vishnu says, okay, if this is what you want, come on the head part. They don't realize that the reason Lord Vishnu took the head part was from the head part, poison is going to come. And the demons didn't have the power to deal with that. Lord Vishnu could have dealt with that, but the demons didn't want. They doubted the Lord's intention. And that's one of the big problems with demoniac propensity. We doubt both the Lord and the devotee's motivation. And when there is doubt in the Lord and the devotee's motivations, then that demoniac propensity ultimately destroys all the good plans which can ultimately help us advance and come closer to the nectar. And thus we become subjected to so much of poison. Because they doubted the motivation of the Lord, that exposed them to so much of poison. And that's a very important principle. So this is the fourth principle, and that is the false ego. So apart from upbringing and past life conditioning and association, the fourth principle which affects us is the false ego. And when there is this false ego, then we start taking credit for everything, and we cannot accept anything if we feel that I am not in the center of things. So that is the influence of false ego, like that. So just like a man was, you know, he watched into a well and he saw the reflection of the moon in the well and he started crying out, "The moon has fallen, the moon has fallen, the moon has fallen in the well." He threw a rope down into the well and started pulling the rope. And the rope got stuck between the stones in the well and he was pulling and pulling and suddenly the rope gave way and he fell down on his back. When he fell down on his back, he looked up and he saw the moon. He said, "I have rescued the moon, I have rescued the moon." He started taking credit. Someone told Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, you have saved me. You have attracted me." Prabhupada said, "No, I have not saved you. I have not attracted you. Krishna is all attractive. He is attracting you. I can teach you the process by which you can save yourself." That is the principle. So that's the difference between a mundane philanthropist and a devotee. A devotee doesn't take credit for any of his activities which he's doing, including the task of distributing Krishna consciousness. It is only through Krishna that a person is ultimately delivered. That's like all of these politicians when they go and give promises, you know, during election time. "We will do this for you, we will do this for you, we will save you, we will help you." A politician went on a campaign and he went to a village and the villager says, "We don't have any water." And he said, "I will make sure that there is water in every house." Says someone else said, "We don't have any electricity. So I will make sure that there is electricity in every house." Someone said, "We don't have any graveyards." So I'll make sure every house becomes graveyard. So a person is promising, you know, so many things without thinking. And he's under the impression, "I am the power." That's the difference between a great soul who's dependent on Krishna's mercy. He knows, "I am nothing. Only if Krishna sanctions, Krishna can help. I cannot help." So therefore, here, the demons, they want to take that position. And when this happens, the poison starts coming out and they are destroyed. So the influence of the false ego is so powerful that ultimately it subjects us to destruction. And the last principle which now comes up, which is ultimately the most important, is what is called sankalpa or willpower. We do not have much control over the other four. We do not have much control about how much extent of false ego is there. We don't have much control over our upbringing, about our past life's conditionings. But we do have control over association, the kind of association we keep. And the maximum amount of control we have is over sankalpa or willpower. And if that sankalpa or willpower is strong, then we can offset all the difficulties created by the other four. And now, Lord Vishnu will assist the demigods in so many obstacles which will come up in the churning process. And the only thing which he requests from them is, "Just stay loyal to me. Do not jump sides." Right? If you just stay loyal and just follow, then ultimately the churning process will be successful. So then, you know, the pastime goes ahead. And there are so many nice incidents which actually happen, that the halahal poison comes out and then Lord Shiva drinks that poison because the Lord requests him. The Lord requests the demigods, "Go to Lord Shiva," and Lord Shiva is so selfless, he drinks the poison. So therefore, a very famous verse comes, "Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayasya jana param aradhanam taddi purushasya akhilatman." Great soul's nature is they want to protect others by accepting difficulties themselves. Kasyano bhavosyana deva vidmahe tavangri renus parashadhikara yadvanchaya shri ralanascharattapo vihaya kaman suchiran dhridavrata. The Nagapatnis are praying to Krishna, "What kind of austerities did our husband do? He was so envious, he was a snake. Kasyano bhavo asyana deva vidmahe that tavangri renu that the dust of your lotus feet has touched his head. Sparsha adhikara. How did he get this adhikar? From where did he get this, you know, great power to have your feet on his head? Yat vanchaya shri lalana. Even Lakshmiji is trying to perform this austerity for an extremely long period of time. And therefore, so this is a question which has come in the middle. So, so therefore, they are saying that yat vanchaya shri lalana charastapo. Lalana means even Lakshmiji, she is hankering for Krishna's lotus feet. So how could our husband, who was so envious, get that benefit like that? So here we find that by the power of association with the Nagapatnis, somehow or the other, because of their good prayers and their good desires, Kaliya also got that benefit because of that. So whenever something good happens in our spiritual life, we should think that it is because of the prayers and the well wishes of other devotees and great souls and Srila Prabhupada. And without that, nothing is possible. And then with that, when we continue in a determined effort, that sankalpa is not like that, I can do it, I will do it. It's not that sankalpa. This sankalpa is determination, having full faith in Krishna's protection. And that's what is described in this particular verse, that Narad Muni is saying, Prahlad is determined to be sinless. He is sinless and he will continue to remain sinless. There is no way anyone can affect him because Krishna's protection is guaranteed. So that sankalpa, that willpower has to be expressed. So the initial thoughts in the mind, which appear as ripples, that's like vritti. Then that becomes like wave, it is called vasana. When it becomes stronger, then it becomes sanskara. And therefore, if we have to change our sanskara, sanskara is like a tide. So there is ripple, there is wave, and there is a tide. And that tide will create a lot of difficulties. And that sanskars create a lot of difficulty. And sanskars are created as a result of the previous four, you know, reasons or causes, as I've just mentioned. And in order to counteract sanskara, you need sankalpa. You need willpower. And therefore the demigods, with great determination, continue the process of churning. But they have the good advantage of having Lord Vishnu's assistance, and ultimately they land up getting the nectar. You know, as soon as they get the nectar, the demons steal it away first. And when the demons steal it away, they start fighting amongst themselves. One of them steals the nectar pot and runs away. Another steals it from him. And in this way they said, Mitha Kalir Abhut Tesham. They start fighting amongst themselves. Aham purvam, natvam, natvam. I will have it first, I will have it first. Not you, not you. And there are others, extremely weak demons. They know that we can never have this, because all those who are fighting are powerful. So they start claiming justice. That no, injustice has been done towards demigods, you know. Demigods also deserve a share of that nectar. They should also be given. So Prabhupada said, this is what happens, you know, when someone is in opposition, they start claiming justice. And then they become ruling power, others claim justice. So therefore, in this way, ultimately Lord appears in the form of special incarnation, Mohini Murti, snatches the nectar and gives it to them. So therefore, many times situation appears very difficult. The last verse in this particular pastime says, Evam surasuragana samadesh kala hetvartha karma matayopi phale vikalpa tatramrutam suragana phalam anjasapur yat pada pankajaraja snapayan nadaitya. The time, the place, the circumstance, the situation, the facilities, everything was same for both demigods and demons. Evam surasurana samadeshakala. But still, what made the demigods get the nectar? Yat pada pankaja raja snapayan na daitya. The daityas, the demons, did not take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And that made all the difference. So that the demon's sankalpa is in the mode of ignorance and passion, taking credit for themselves, having faith in themselves. Whereas the devotee's sankalpa or determination is in Krishna, is in his own powerlessness and in Krishna's power. And when there is that sankalpa, that determination, then Krishna's mercy flows immediately. That's very important. Just like recently, I was going from Kolkata airport to Kharagpur IIT for a program. And it was Bandh in Bengal. Bandh means everything is closed. In Bengal, Bandh means literally Bandh. Nothing moves. No vehicle moves. So the only way you can go is in an ambulance. Only thing they don't touch is ambulance. So they had brought an ambulance to pick us up. So I was sitting in the front seat and our other devotees were in the back seat. And the ambulance, you know, it was going at full speed because no traffic, everything empty. Roads were all empty. You know, very rare in Kolkata. And we passed through Kolkata and there were so many stops at different points. They had barricades and there were people doing dharna. But as soon as they would see ambulance, they would allow us to go. As soon as they say, okay, ambulance, okay. And ambulance, and I was sitting in front with saffron, they saw both. Okay, ambulance plus saffron, okay. Go ahead. But there was one place where there was like a big gathering and they were not willing to let us go. You know, and they started banging from the side because they wanted to check out what's inside. And one of our devotees, like, we just had breakfast, and after taking breakfast, and he had been received with a garland, you know, at the airport. So after prasad and everything was lying in the backside like that. So they looked inside and they saw, and okay, they thought, okay. It's a bona fide ambulance. Go ahead. So they didn't know the cause of why he was lying like that. Because just had heavy breakfast. And this was like Mahaprasad garland. You know, so I was thinking that there are so many obstacles in this preaching mission and there are so many obstacles in the practice of Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada has mercifully picked us up in his ambulance. And he has provided us such facilities. All we have to do is stay in that and automatically all dharna and everything, whatever is happening, will all get, you know, dissipated. And they will allow us to go ahead somehow or the other. If only we have that sankalpa. Otherwise, we cannot control our previous conditionings. We cannot blame our upbringing. You know, we do not have much control over our false ego. If we get good association, it's well and good. But ultimately, even in association, there will be difficulties. And Krishna will test us by actually taking our faith away from the association sometimes. But in these kinds of crises, the only thing which will keep us going is the sankalpa, is the determination, the willpower to continue. And that will actually dictate our character and our nature. And thus, Krishna will become pleased with our efforts and we can go back home, back to God. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai. Itai Gaur Premanande. This one question was how Janak Maharaj was hearing Bhagavatam because it was spoken now. It's not like that. Bhagavatam was spoken by Brahma, by Krishna to Brahma, and from that time, from the beginning of creation, Bhagavatam is there. It is in this particular written format only now. Otherwise, there are so many different versions of Bhagavatam which were spoken by different personalities to different people. That was the question which was sent. Thank you.